I hope you all are dancing to that, because
by this, now you better dance, because it's embarrassing.
This might be the last time you hear it for a little bit.
For a little while.
For a little bit.
Aww.
I know, but it's okay. Because
why is that?
Well, why do you ask? Because here on Taking in the Scene, we have reached the end of our first season with episode number...
Oh my God. The Baker's Dozen episode is number 13.
It is number 13. Y'all, we made it to the end of the first season.
Blood, sweat, and tears, my friends.
I know.
Well, I mean, a little bit more
a little
sweat,
bit of cum.
Sweat and tears.
Not on the microphone.
I'm just saying.
Please not on the microphone.
Unless, you know, I just got an idea for something later on. Okay, anyways.
Switching subjects. Not going to explain that at all.
Nope.
That's so fine.
Been able to hear for the last 12 episodes, Denzel Darko. I am joined today by...
Mango Sorbet.
And a warm orange. Woo! That's me.
And first off, before we get into this episode, which I like to think of it as more of a bonus episode.
Yeah, this is the fun stuff.
Yeah. I just want to first off and say thank you all to listeners and supporters who have, you know, really made this first season very instrumental, because in the beginning we kind of just went with the flow. And for us to reach again the end of 13 episodes, thank you all for the support, for the listens. We're going to come back twice as strong, but we're not leaving yet.
Yeah, we're not leaving yet.
Not before we
I also want to thank anyone who's listening. Like, thank you so much. Hearing from you is such a joy. Unless you're mean, in which case, don't contact us. I'm just kidding. It's been such a joy, and I echo what Denzel said.
And then for me, as the person who is helping do the podcast things too, I just like talking, so...
So no thanks.
So what Orange is saying is no thanks, but no thanks.
He basically said I talked and y'all listened.
Orange is saying sorry, not sorry.
Well, no, I'm basically saying that.
But actually,
Orange is saying you're welcome.
Literally,
he's like, exactly, you're welcome for my voice.
Yeah, like I brought it here. I brought these together. So yeah.
Okay,
so,
Maui.
I mean, in a very, you know, just tooting
Moana
my own horn
joke.
Here. Toot my own horn here. Yeah, I am kind of saying you're welcome. Because so, like, legitimately, I do get into some very long conversations.
The biggest eye roll from Orange I've ever, or from Denzel I've ever seen.
I do get into some very long, like literally yesterday I went to a cookout with some friends, and me and one of the people there, we talked extensively for about 2.5 hours at a cookout with 8 other people there, about kink politics and being a toy maker in kink. And then we talked about work in real life. We talked about shitty leadership. We talked about bosses being awful. We talked about a whole bunch of things in 2.5 hours.
And
I literally
everyone
did
afterwards said, Orange, thank you. You saved us from the monotony of a cookout, which are normally so boring.
Wow, no spades, but we've got Orange discussion.
Oh, thank goodness Orange was here at this cookout. We would have just been silent for the last 2 hours staring at each other.
What actually happened is the conversation, like, they were, it's like the... I grew up in a black family because I'm black.
What?
And with my family,
you're black?
Like I'm very used to the black protocols for leaving an event, which is, all right, we about to head out, talk for another 30 minutes. Right. All right, we're going to go head out now, and then talk for another 40 minutes, and then, you know, sitting in the car with the window down, talk for another hour, and then, like, starting to back up, like, Paul's like, hey, you see that over there? And talk for another hour, and then you finally leave. So it's in my blood. I blame
it's
my parents.
It's similar but different for Jews. We go around saying goodbye to every individual person, which is a conversation for every person.
Right.
So if my partner wants to leave a Jewish event, he's like, okay, time to start. And I'll go, I'm like, goodbye. Blah, 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 goodbye. Blah, blah, blah. It's a very individual, like, you give a lot of attention to people. And it's why sometimes at kink events, I'll be leaving and I'll feel this, like, immense guilt that I haven't said goodbye to everybody I know there. Like, even the slosh, I'll be like, crap, it's my bedtime. But I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say goodbye to everybody. And then the worst thing ever will happen, and someone will be like, hey, did you leave? Or they'll message me being like, I didn't see you leave last night. I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't say goodbye extensively.
Shoot.
Well, the only exception, I'm going to say the only exception, just interject really fast, is like, because I remember back in the play party episode, Mango's like, I'm gone by 10. Like, I'm going to bed. Like,
yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, but that means that a little bit before then, I have to go around.
Even there?
Like 9:15.
I mean, what I'm saying is,
it's
not a Jewish event. It's not, I mean, unless, I haven't been to a specifically Jewish kinky event. I think that
sounds
would be,
cool, though.
It does sound cool, but my first thought was, like, the food restrictions involved in that party would be lactose intolerant, gluten-free, someone can't eat soy, someone can't eat, you know, what have you, eggs? And I'm just like, oh God.
Which is funny because
everyone would be like, ow, ow. And we'd be like, ooh, are you getting beat? And they'd be like, no, my tummy hurts.
Well, in this, internal initial pain.
Yeah.
This initial 5 minutes, and like, I'll make sure I kick it over to Denzel because he was about to take it over. But like,
no, I'm not
we have yet
over.
To talk
you're,
about.
You're starting. Taking it over.
We should, oh, no. Yeah, we should say, okay.
I was about to say, we have yet to talk
here's
about
the episode. Denzel, tell us what we're doing today.
Okay, yes.
We are kicking it over to Denzel.
We got real comfortable.
I know. That was sort of fun.
This feels like LDOC, like the last day of class where you're like, I'm here, teacher, but I'm just going to bullshit. So y'all are just going to bear with us as we bullshit our way through today. So what we're going to do on this episode is we are all going to read various posts or an erotica from our FET and from our personal writings, discuss and share them. And then once we have done that, we are also going to talk about things for the future, for the next season, and what you can be looking forward to and doing in the little break that we will be taking.
And like future writings we want to do.
Yeah.
And also
interact.
I mean, since we're all agreeing on things, the 90-minute episode, we're probably going to do this. 13.
We're definitely not doing a 90-minute episode.
Not this
time. I appreciate that you brought it in this episode. It's very cute, actually.
Yeah. It's a nice, like, wrapping up. If you didn't, I'd be like, huh?
Yeah.
Feels weird.
Yeah, there was that one episode he didn't. We were just like, huh.
Also, I went back and listened to a few of the episodes, and one of the episodes, I was saying, well, actually, blah, 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 and Denzel's like, no comma? And I was like, oh, damn.
Oh, no, you said however, and then you didn't say comma. It was a however comma.
And I was like, yeah, no comma.
That was, no comma. Yeah, you have to say, we should make sure it's say however comma.
I'm just used to saying
and
that.
And then it says tits on the back.
Oh, we're bringing tits back. Oh,
we
my
should
God.
Put it on. You remember juicy sweatpants that said things on the butt? We should get some juicy sweatpants that say tits on the butt and confuse people because we'll be like, that's a butt. And we'll be like, it's a podcast, actually. And they'll be like, what? That's what?
Well, no.
Like, your ass is a podcast? Like,
yeah.
It's a conversational piece because it's like when people walk through. When people walk through and it's like, why does your butt say tits? It's because you're taking in the scene.
Oh, yeah. That's
because the scene
is the butt.
Yeah. You like what you seen.
Okay.
It says that brain is neurotic, but that ass is iconic. That's me. That's me in another life.
So, Orange, I'd love to hear
thanks for
some
rhyming.
Of your writing.
Yeah, since you started off with a little bit
I have
of
a strong suspicion Orange isn't going to read erotica to us, but now I'm desperate to know what's in Orange's erotic brain.
I was going to highlight that Denzel
I'm
said
so curious.
Denzel Very did say that this episode we're going to be reading post and erotica. I was like, oh, thanks Denzel, you thought of me because I know that y'all two are going to read some pretty hot. Like, I got to fan myself stuff over here.
I mean, I could read some
Clutch
really
my
basic
pearls.
Shit.
Meanwhile, I'm going to be reading over here, like,
read my grocery
I think.
List, but sexily, like,
blueberries.
Milk, eggs.
Cheese.
Bananas.
What's going on?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm reading my. That's my grocery list. I did need bananas.
Teddy Graham crackers. Dunkaroos.
Dunkaroos.
God.
I don't sound like that
red
ever.
Cabbage.
I don't know why I'm putting on that voice.
Zucchini.
Yikes. Hashtag yikes.
Artichoke hearts.
Okay. We're making pizza tonight.
Oh, no.
Okay, Orange, start us off with some of your writing. Give us some context, and then dive in.
A title.
So how many writings are we reading?
Just read like a snippet of one that you think is... Or if it's a short one, like so we can discuss and like... Give us a taste, basically. This is a tasting menu.
Oh, we're tasting Orange.
That's funny.
Whoa.
Oh, no. I just had a horrible thought.
What? Was it?
I have to say it. I'm so sorry.
Cannibalism?
No.
Oh.
When orange comes, it's orange juice.
Ha-ha. But also...
Some
yikes.
Pulp, no pulp.
Oh, that was so much worse than what I said.
Shout out to Tony Soprano.
I'm thinking about the texture.
Oh, my God.
I want the one with some pulp, okay?
Speaking of pulp and texture, so I'm not a person who's offended at texture, and I'll get to my reading in a second, but I just wanted to say this. There's something called Tim Tam Slams, which Tim Tams are a cookie that's a little bit more popular.
Tim Tams are so good.
Right, but Tim Tam Slam, if you've ever done, is basically you take a Tim Tam, you bite each end, and then you have like a tea or something, and then you suck the tea through the cookie, and then when you feel it starting to smush in the middle, you eat the whole thing, and it's called a Tim Tam Slam.
That's
why I did it, because it was a bunch of my vanilla friends.
That's like very Australian, like, teetotaling version of a What's the thing when you drop a shot in beer and then drink it?
Oh, and I was it an Irish car bomb?
Oh, that sounds like that. That sounds right.
I don't know if that is it. What it is? I know what you're talking about.
I don't drink alcohol, so I don't.
Jaeger bomb.
Yeah, that's like a Jaeger bomb, but with tea.
Well, the only reason why I mentioned is because I'm usually texture agnostic, but like the cookie was crunchy on the outside and squishy in the middle, and there was like tea there, and it was like it was really weird.
I did not like it. Squishy in the middle cookie myself. Yeah. I'm just gonna say.
It sounds really good.
It really does.
Tim Tams are good. They're from Australia.
They are.
Oh, that was good.
I'm not going to do any more accents.
All right. So going on to the dramatic reading. This is how we're going to do this.
Read it in your sexiest voice.
I'm going to read it.
Can you give us some context for what you're reading?
I can. And what I'll do just for everybody else, or the people sitting at the table on the podcast, is I'm going to lower the volumes, and then we're going to have the reading, and then we're going to raise the volumes and discuss.
Okay.
I'm choosing a writing that I'm going to read the two paragraphs it is, because I feel it. So one of the struggles that I have with writing is like I like to talk about a lot of things. I like to have discussions. I like to have kind of probe at things and see how things go and like kind of test logic and base it against my own moral groundings myself, which is one of the things that's been interesting to kind of record and listen to again and then say, you know what, and so it's like, am I the asshole?
No,
I'm not the asshole. Wow. I'm not the asshole. It's those process. Other kids. It's those kids that are assholes. You know, the Simpsons meme. There's a lot of Herculean work that went on internally in my own mind throughout my own middle school, high school, and college years, and to the day we started recording podcasts and continuously into like trying to understand and assess myself and make sure that I'm existing in a way that I think I should exist. Mm-hmm. So that goes a long way to say that introspection is very strong for me, but I also like to analyze and see other things and kind of question and probe other people. But the issue with that is when you start analyzing and probing and assessing things, you distance yourself and you start going from treating somebody as a friend to treating them as a study object.
That is a very well thought out analysis of how you interact with people. I appreciate the self-awareness.
Yeah, and it's also frustrating because I was like, I just want to talk more about why you think XYZ, and the person's like, yeah, but you're kind of like digging a little bit too far into these realms that I don't want to dig into. So it's a balancing act, and before the King scene, I've always been inquisitive about things, but that goes a long way to say that introspection is a very key core thing to me. So when I write, I don't want to write in a way that's like me kind of blaming or doing like a call to action.
I'll tell you, all writing is introspection.
Yeah.
All creative writing is introspection.
Fair. Okay. I'm really curious now. Read your writing.
All right. So I'll read the writing. So that now we have context for me as a person. And if I hope you picked all of that up throughout the podcast, but let's go ahead and lower the windows. Lower the volume.
Enter.
So smooth and just. Now, right. So this is a writing. It's called Mirror. With great anticipation, I look to my mirror to see what remains on the other side. I watch closely as the look of curiosity fades to one of disappointment and annoyance. I listen as the faint echoes and retorts spiral out to one surprising conclusion. Nothing has changed. What am I expecting anyway? Some sort of dramatic transformation? A grotesque shift in form? Maybe some kind of spectacular energy aura glowing around me and a faint orange tint? Change is not always something that can be seen or measured. It can be a subtle internal paradigm shift, a bold external alteration, or even a slight adjustment of environment. These are things that I can say I understand very well, but I can't help but eagerly wait to meet the person I will soon be. End scene.
Wow. Mm. So tell us what you were going through.
Yeah, I said this before in one of our earlier actually first episode. So sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, yeah, it's disappointment. This writing was literally me vocalizing that in a not as.
Do you mean from a physical perspective?
Well, no. Like ideally. So it's like trying to see like what is Orange's idealized self. And my idealized self looks like this. But then when you measure the idealized version of that I see in myself versus the realities of my circumstances versus the realities of my environment versus realities of who I'm with and who I associate with. You cannot consolidate the things. So that's why I always say, there's a time in my life where it's like, being an alpha male, I hate the term being an alpha male, but going alpha, was a thing that I always thought was like a better way to look at it, because going alpha means that I don't think I'm ever alpha. Because if you're ever alpha, you feel like you've achieved alphaness and
you
achieved peak.
What does that mean to you?
I'm using alpha in the sense of like the generic toxic
alpha,
male
beta,
way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, alpha beta.
Male.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
So, but like the concept of taking it to move it from toxicity and say, okay, what's a better way to look at this? And the idea is going alpha is like, you know, trying to be an idealized self, trying to improve myself always. And if I think I'm alpha, I'm probably the problem because that means that I'm saying I don't think I have anything to improve on. Whereas if I'm just continuously challenging myself
also,
and pushing
every
myself.
Every man I've ever met who calls himself an alpha male sucks.
Right, exactly.
I have this belief that if you have to consistently vocalize it, that is not a trait of being an alpha male.
Right.
Like, it's really not. Like, right. It's a simplicity. So,
also, not to mention that the study that came from about wolves was, like, super flawed. And that's
it was incorrect. Yeah.
Right. So, that's
interesting. I'm still curious, like,
like, idealized self. Like, do you believe that, like, it is a long, like, an endless journey to reach that self?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And do you think you'll ever reach that self?
Or is
the journey the whole experience of it?
Right. Well, for me, the fun of it is the like I actually enjoy the introspection. I enjoy introspection as much, if not more, than I enjoy discussing things, especially controversial things. Like specifically, if you go back to episode 8, it was mentioned, which is the race and inclusivity. Sorry to bring up, you know, some possible old wounds that might exist from that one.
it would be an orange segment if it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
But the discussion itself, it was mentioned by Mango, and we all talked about this specifically. Mango, after Mango made the statement in that podcast afterwards, not recording, I acknowledge that was a reductive statement that I made, because Mango said the tensions are high for the podcast and we all need to kind of take a step and breathe. And I said, you guys have high tensions? I don't have high tensions, which is in itself kind of a attack at saying, oh, you guys are being too sensitive about this thing. Mm. Which, like I said, afterwards, not recording, I acknowledge it. So I want to make sure I record me acknowledging it, because it is something that's important to bring up. But what I'm saying is, like, that debate, that, you know, fiery debate that, you know, people, you know, kind of hemming and hawing and, you know, trying to push their perspectives, not being successful, hitting brick walls. That is fun. I think that is fun. Whereas most people say, orange, you're weird. It's like, I know,
orange,
that's why I'm in
pink. Can I ask a really deep question?
Sure.
And you can just say, I don't want to answer that question. Do you like yourself?
Good question. Do I like myself? I haven't put too much thought to it.
Like, if you met very similar version of yourself, or even like a clone, would you want to like hang out with yourself?
I mean,
that's a good question.
I would. I think I would, because I feel like myself is very into things that I'm into. What? Duh. Well, sorry. I was trying to objectively think of this as I said the words. I'm like, oh no, what am I saying? What I'm saying is, I think myself like would be into the similar things like board games. Myself would be into the same extent of like philosophy and stuff.
Are you comfortable with alone time?
Yeah, but
I'm
you
very
be able to be with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm very comfortable with my own alone time. I'm very comfortable being.
Okay,
with
next
me.
Question: would you suck your own dick?
So that is a different question. You're kidding. You're kidding. But like this is like the philosophy. And like I said, this is fun for me, but I'm a step away from the stage here in a second. But there's a book called The Man Who Folded Himself. And it's like a short story, which, side note, because I tangent on tangents. So we're tangenting from the tangent about a tangent.
Triple tangent.
I told a friend about that book, because like, this book is so good and it's amazing and stuff. It's a short novella. And I told this person, it took me like, you know, 4.5 weeks to read it. And then I went, because as I told it to him, I went to read it again. I was like, this book is like 100 pages. My God, I'm that bad at reading.
Yeah.
So. 4 weeks to get through a story about a guy who folded his spine to suck his own dick.
Yeah.
Well, the man who folded himself is about a person who gets a time traveling belt. It's an old book, so apologies for spoiler alert. If you want to read it, I encourage, because it's a lot of philosophical things about time travel and about yourself. But there's a certain point to where the time traveling persons meet at a place and they have an orgy. So the main character is a guy, and he goes to a place, and he's like he's going through the whole philosophy of like, if I suck my own dick, is it? Now, granted, this book is like the 70s, 80s, but it's like, if I suck my own dick, is it gay? And it's like, no, it's not gay. It's like masturbating. I'm just masturbating in a very creative way. So this, that, and the other. So like, it's kind
also,
of.
Also, it would be okay if it was gay. Right. It, right. Not bad.
but
it's
what
okay
I'm saying
to be gay.
What I'm saying is kind of expressing like this captured in the pages of like this. Like trying
this
to justify
orange avoiding
homoerotica.
Answering the question.
I would fuck me.
Yeah, I would fuck me too.
I would not fuck me. I would not fuck
okay.
me.
Okay.
Okay, there
you.
It is. All right. Boom. Boom.
Well, but
we are moving.
Tied a bow on that.
Yeah. All right. I mentioned the book. I did my erotic writing, which that's it.
All right.
I really appreciate you sharing that. I think we, myself, but I think also our listeners get this version of you that is like, for lack of a better phrase, like sort of prepared to fight. I don't mean like like fight, but like
you're
you've
a defender.
Got, you've
always
got,
ready.
Yeah, you're ready
hyper
to
vigilant.
Like. Yeah, and I just it's nice to like hear some like the self awareness is really beautiful to hear. I really appreciate you sharing that. Shall I read next?
I believe it is your turn.
Okay.
Oh, erotic
question. Should I start? I have two things I want to read. Should I do the erotic reading first, or should I read about my thoughts on pubic hair first?
Erotica.
Okay.
Well, oh yeah, mix it up. You're right.
Okay, I'll read. I really do want to read the pubic hair one.
We'll give you time.
Okay. So before I read this, I'll give some context. So this is really fun context. I'm a millennial, and you know that millennials love gold stars because
yes.
we love a participation award. Anyway, so my daddy told me that I would earn gold stars. He has this whole chart if I did certain tasks. And one of the tasks he gave me was to write an erotic story about Little Red Riding Hood, because we have this like joke that he's a wolf and I'm Little Red. So I wrote the first chapter of an erotic story. I am going to write another soon. So okay. For all the people out there who are like, where's chapter two? It's coming.
I made it.
And I won't, I will get started with this reading. To be clear, I'm not starting at the very beginning. So this is coming in sort of halfway through this chapter. Coming in hot. Okay. You ready? I rest my back on a tree and feel my legs slowly give out as I slide down the trunk. A short rest can't hurt. I begin to catch my breath, but it doesn't help my mindset. I'm still basically trapped in his giant cage. From the way his eyes glowed, he can probably see at night, too. I snap back to the present as he slowly creeps into the clearing, his eyes locking onto mine. And there's that stupid whimper again, betraying me. I don't know how much longer I can run, and he's found me so fast. I'm completely helpless, but I start to push myself to my feet nonetheless. With a flash, he's in front of me, yanking the corners of my cloak to the ground. I'm slammed back down to a sitting position against the tree and choke as the tie around my neck grows taut. Again, I can barely move. Red, he coos, my pathetic little red, our game of cat and mouse. Well, wolf and prey is quite enjoyable, but I want my prize, and I want it now. The last rough was a gruffer growl than before. It was desperate. It was dripping with desire. I gasp as I realize what he wants from me, what his prize is. But just as realization is setting in, his hands leave my cloak and land roughly on my belly. He's tearing my dress in either direction, and it comes away like tissue paper in his strong hands. I scream again as I feel pain course through my body. As my dress tore, his sharp claws left shallow gashes in the skin of my belly. I look down in shock and horror, with growing rage, shove at his chest. He doesn't budge. The smile widens on his face as his hand wraps snugly around my throat and squeezes with what I imagine is very little force for him. I'm once again struggling for air. My torso is bare, breasts exposed, pussy exposed. My feet scrape against the ground as I try and push myself up higher on the tree in order to breathe, but his grasp holds me firm. No, little red, not this time. This time I'm going to enjoy my treat, my prize, my perfect little prey.
End scene.
I there's more, obviously, so if you want to read it, it's on my FET page. I'm blushing now.
Whoa, it's spicy over Fancy. Here. I know. I'm going to take a 5-minute break or some kind of lap around the park.
Yeah, just take a walk.
Oh, okay, so
should do this episode at a coffee shop.
So hot take question. So it was mentioned before in an episode that you when you write, it's hard to write about fictional mm-hmm. things. So how realistic on a scale of 1 to all of it?
Okay, so my play with mm-hmm. my daddy mm-hmm. is a little less protocoled. I wouldn't say it's primal at all.
Right.
But we have fun with a little bit of like mm-hmm. I'm still a good girl. I'm definitely don't identify as a brat. But mm-hmm. we have fun with a little bit of the push and pull.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And later in this story, mm-hmm. I get to, you know, the wolf fingering me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And my response to fingering, especially from my daddy, is immediate. It's very visceral, very right. quick. I am like immediately
just melting.
Melting. Mm-hmm. I basically like whatever happened right before the fingering, that's mm-hmm. done. Now the fingering is happening and I can't go anywhere. I'm a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's generally fingering for me. Mm-hmm. I love fingering. Denzel and I were talking before the episode about how great fingering is.
It's an art.
It's not for everyone, but it is an art.
And if you learn it.
Yeah. Trust and me. And if you learn it, what individual people like, that's right. so yeah. important.
Oh, no, for sure. I like to hyperanalyze everything like we just got done right. talking about. So like one of the things I feel is always creepy is like I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to get this person off.
Right. And it's like, individual.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, one thing is not going to work for everybody.
True. Exactly.
So that part, you know, like there are things, the way that my body reacts to him, that's all realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it is just me fantasizing, like being caught in the woods and mm-hmm. taken. And
mm-hmm.
so my question would be would you, similar vein, would you write a scenario that you would want to eventually get into?
Totally.
So,
Wait, hold on. Question. Denzel, was that a leading question?
Oh my God.
Was there a follow-up to that?
I'm just a writer.
I mean, we all have fantasies. I saw the other day a meme that said mm-hmm. when I go to sleep, I have to fantasize wildly about things before I fall asleep. And I was like, oh, I thought I was the only one who did that. And I definitely, I have lots of fantasies. Some of them are bonkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yours is before bed. Mine's is when I wake up in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a morning fantasizer.
That's so funny. I think the difference is because I'm a morning person. I start my day I got to do stuff. And mm-hmm. you're a night person.
Oh, so no. I'm a morning person.
What? No.
You're a morning person?
I start my day at 6:15, 6:30.
But you stay up so late.
I don't sleep.
Okay. See, for me, if I don't get sleep, I'm basically useless. Oh, I would be horrible in an apocalypse.
5.5 to six is plenty. I can manage.
Five really and well a half to six. Yeah.
I slept on a couch last night. Per podcast recording traditions.
right. Wait. So it's how many weekends before we record the podcast? Because we record this on Sundays usually.
Every weekend except for maybe two.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every week.
That's 11 weekends. So 11 weekends Denzel has been strung out doing wild. All the best.
What can I say?
I don't think he's strung out.
Streets is hot.
Yeah, the streets is hot.
Streets is hot.
We started recording in winter. What do you mean the streets is hot?
The streets was hot then too.
Tinder was hot.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, I would definitely do an erotic writing about things I want. I think mm-hmm. what's fun about this, especially because he had assigned it to me, was mm-hmm. that I got to include some of our shared fantasy, fantasy of being caught in the woods and just I should have given a CNC warning for this or an abduction warning before I started reading.
Yeah, fair.
But I'm giving that warning now. I think what I find it really hot, the idea of being caught in the woods and just, you know, having my strong will broken down by this
mm-hmm.
very dominant, animalistic kind of primal man.
Yeah.
Right. And but then, but within the parameters of what you're comfortable with and established relationships.
Exactly.
Just because for some reason people don't draw the lines with kink and like doing like extreme things. Like, oh, so you just want somebody to just show up and kidnap? He's like, no, that's not what I'm saying.
I had a CNC threesome yesterday with my two tops. You should
see the pics.
Yeah, the pics are fire. But I had a CNC threesome with them and we like discussed it at length. It was pretty, it was very much like a play. I think that's why we call it a scene.
Yeah, that's why we play.
That we play.
And we're performers.
Yeah. We are performers.
When we get on stage.
Look at us being literary AF.
But yeah, being able to write like this and like include our fantasies, but also include things that aren't real. And I will say the fun of erotica for me, and Denzel might agree, is that you can remove some of the reality of like the time it takes to negotiate and you just dive right into the kink.
Full on embellishing.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. Cause you know, again, at the end of the day, it's a story and nobody,
right.
Maybe some people want to sit there and hear the ins and outs. Like that could be the kink. Like you could be getting off at the negotiation part, but most people who are coming to erotica are looking for when you dive into that.
They want to be immersed in the fantasy.
Yeah.
But they all, in order to immerse people though, you have to like create some basic structures that are recognizable so people can immerse themselves into it.
Can I tell you something depressing but funny?
Sure.
Okay. So I love being immersed in the fantasy. So for me, a sex dream is really exciting. But lately my sex dreams have all included both negotiation and a discussion of sexual safety. And I never get to the sex. So my sex dreams are just me being like, what are your thoughts on condoms?
Well, I mean,
I don't get to have the sex dream.
Well, I mean, that could
having
be
having a pre-sex
that could be seen
dream.
As kind of like dream. Like well, no,
it's
not even foreplay.
It's denial.
It's denial.
So maybe you're entering a new phase in your life, and your dreams are telling you like this is what you need to be doing.
But I am doing. I am. It's frustrating. I do negotiate. Anyway, and Denzel, I want to hear some of your writing.
Wait. I thought you had two writings.
Oh, I do, but I want to let. We'll come back to mine.
We're gonna do like a round robin. So.
You don't have to do another if you don't want orange. Yeah.
I mean, I can read it. I have a very short one.
Okay. Well, Denzel, you're up. Give us some context.
I'm gonna give y'all no context except.
Okay, don't give me context.
The title. And then we could talk about
throw
it afterwards.
Me in.
Well, that's what I do with my poetry.
Yes.
Like it when
not the briar patch.
Yeah, I you know a lot of people
oh,
like to come in and
yikes.
Talk and do their stuff. I'm like, fuck that. I come in here silent.
And
I
just
get
go.
On the mic and I say what I need to say, and then we can talk afterwards.
I love it. Okay.
All right. This is some new shit. It's called A Letter to All Lovers. It's short. To all my people who love, when their lovers love others, don't forget to love yourself too. Love, have you realized? There is boundless love, and love cannot be lost. Love is the flow of energy, and humans are love generators. Sharing that love with others will not diminish established love, and exercising love with many may strengthen the threads of love. Be unafraid to let lovers love all lovers, for you love you first. End.
I love that. Was that about polyamory?
That's exactly what polyamory. Yeah.
I love it.
And, you know,
that's so important.
And for me, because this is my, like, I've been beginning my poly journey.
Yeah,
so like, as y'all have been listening to me on the podcast, it's been like the beginning point. So, there's just been different experiences in the journey thus far that have given me that kind of insight. And one of them, which is a funny way to get to this amazing poem about love, is like, I was part of a 8-person orgy this past week.
Oh, wait, whoa, hold on.
Please, context.
Please. Give me every detail.
Fucking amazing. It was fucking amazing, but there was moments within the experience where you would look and you would see somebody being able to experience pleasure with another person, and then another person would be there. So like you are getting simultaneously, you're part of this pleasure. I call it an orgy, a sex puddle. Like it's just a puddle of sex, but everybody being able to share and have like a joyful feeling and provide pleasure and fun and comfort to each other.
Right.
Like that was such a beautiful thing for all of us to experience. And some of us came in as like partners, and some of us came in as like friends, and some of us came in as like, I know you and I've had like two conversations with you, but we're going to be fucking in a few minutes. So it's going to be nice. But again, to say all that to say, how another topic we had talked about is like how we like the idea of fucking friends, because there's a level of comfort and safety and security, and there's already some respect.
There's too. Also like the expectation isn't there, so you don't have to like be afraid to like misrepresent yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, so
can I ask a question?
Yes.
When you said like remembering to love yourself in your poly journey, have you found times where you've been it's been a challenge to love yourself?
I would say not yet, but I also think that. I feel like I put a lot of emphasis on self-love. Mm-hmm. Like I spend a lot of time with myself.
We get normally. It. Masturbate.
Yeah, yeah. Look, every day now.
Denzel has a time traveling belt. He sucks himself off.
I'm just saying. Wait till we get to the erotica.
That wasn't the erotica.
So yeah, I think I've been reading also like The Ethical Slut and another book at the same time.
Have you read Polysecure?
Yeah, I listened to that on audiobook. Nice. And between those two books and the other book, which is also all about like Carl Jung's psychology in terms of relationships, like all of their components and advice continue to boil down to the fact that your relationships with everybody else is automatically determined by your relationship with yourself. So the better that you learn to love yourself, the more that you can express that love to other people. And with this idea that like in the book, they said love is literally the flow of energy. So if energy can't be created or destroyed, there's never going to be a situation where I'm going to have reached a capacity to love.
Yeah.
And when I think about being poly, it's like there's a fear about insecurity. Like my partner's only got X amount of love. And if they give 40% of the love to this partner and then another person gets 30, then I'm only left with 30%. Yeah. But it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
It's so frustrating
though,
because love doesn't work that way, but time does.
Time does.
I mean,
which is so frustrating. That's
and,
why
and time people, and love are
like I can't have infinite number of partners because I don't have infinite time.
I don't.
I can't.
Well, I'm saying the reason why I say time does time because like this is why I merge my like social kink circle and my social circle is like. I want to play board games and then maybe do sex things with this person. How about I just have it be the same person?
But I can't do that with everybody.
Yeah, you can. Well, I have three long-term serious relationships.
Right, right.
That means like every night of the week.
Oh, there's somebody doing something.
Yeah, I'm like doing stuff with somebody.
Yeah.
And I have my friendships. I have really rich friendships. So I place a huge emphasis on spending time with friends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also that, again, also disclaimer, you don't have to fuck your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was great. I love that reading.
Thank you. Should I go ahead and do, I guess, my second reading?
Yeah, if you want to.
Is this going to be a 90-minute episode?
No.
I'm just saying.
Is this going to be a 90-minute episode?
Denzel, I thought we were a team.
I mean, we were until we got to the last episode.
Orange is gaining the influence. I'm gaining ground.
What happened on the last episode?
Well, no, I mean like this is the last episode. Yeah, I feel like if there's ever a time to maybe like
gang up on manga.
Okay, but
let's see what you say it that way.
Maybe 75. 75. I can do 75.
Okay, Orange, start reading. Right. I'm committed to not making this super long.
Am I reading? Okay, it's like five paragraphs.
If you want to read.
Right, yeah.
Right. I will read. I was going to read the short writing, but like it mentions Amazon, and I'm not the biggest fan of them right now. So I'm moving on to like an actual writing, not a joke writing. So, okay. Agency. It's so easy to focus on what I don't have or what I'm missing. Knowing that I don't have the high-paying paycheck just yet, getting tunnel vision over the fact that I lack that one powerful piece of in-game equipment, seeing only flowing pains before me with irritation due to the lack of trees. To fall subject to something so selfish and so simple can be quite mind-numbing. with scars far deeper than the selfish perspective, however, is the fact that I don't lack agency in this matter. Knowing that that higher paycheck is only a certification away, understanding that this virtual item gets unlocked at the end of the game once I'm done with this quest, being aware that the planes are only a precursor to the forge just three clicks north, and awareness of agency, and not just any agency, but supreme agency, being in control of my own destiny presents a challenge of self-perception. On the one hand, it is important to trust myself in that I will take the actions necessary to always generate positive progress. On the other hand, I've grown an affinity to the arts of stagnation and complacency. It is far easier to fight my own principles than it is to live up to them. Agency can never truly be taken away from me. I am responsible for my own fate, and I have supreme agency in the matter. I will bite back the curses and light my candle, for this darkness will know my wrath. End scene.
Damn. Yeah, yeah, I feel like I'm at an open mic. I was like, whoa.
Well, so the funny thing about that writing, just to give context, is like, so around this time that I wrote this specific writing, I had taken a job that I started working the night shift on weekends, or swing shift on weekends, which is from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., which means I couldn't do nothing. Like, yeah. Play parties would be basically over. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything. Nobody's doing anything in the mornings. And I was trying to find a way to engage and kind of interact with the community, but also that roadblock of, like, I don't just want to say, hey, let's talk about this controversial thing. It's more like a, all right, let me just focus on myself, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that last line of, I will bite back the curses and light my own candle, for darkness will know my wrath. That's the line I started with. And then I was trying to figure out, I was trying to like, okay, how can I make that work in the thing? And so then also agency. Backwards.
I appreciate how frustrating it is when you're like, mm-hmm. when you feel like you're not totally in control mm-hmm. because of like circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there are some things within your control. And mm-hmm. you just choose, you're like, you sort of like, it almost feels better to say like, I'm not in control of anything.
Yeah, it is. It
even takes when a lot there more are courage. Some things that are within your control.
Because what is control technically? I mean, control could be considered an illusion if we want to get really philosophical.
Oh, yeah. Determinism.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
This is a podcast for another day.
But I love philosophy.
We will save determinism for another day. Okay.
Determinism and kink.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But did you choose to be this?
I will always end up here.
No matter what, I will always be this
person. It was inevitable.
Another line that I always want to, always like highlighting, whenever I reread this, this is like my fourth time rereading this over the times. This was posted back in 2017, December 3rd. But it's that line of, on the other hand, I've grown an affinity to the arts of stagnation and complacency. Yeah. That line hits really hard. And like,
that shit scares me.
That's like that internal like fear of my own self. It's like, I know I can just do the thing, but I'm not.
Yeah.
And
On the other hand of that though, there, like, especially in American culture, we have this like, must always be achieving, must always be accomplishing.
Grind, grind, grind.
Yeah, grind culture.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can accomplish anything if you try hard enough. And I'm like, no.
No.
Sometimes rest is okay.
Yeah, for sure. So. For sure.
And necessary. Just
experiencing rest as rest and not saying like rest is a part of the
working
process.
Right.
It's like, I'm only resting because I got to get back up. Like, no.
Right.
Sit your ass down and don't do anything.
And it's like revel in that.
Yeah. Be lazy. Like, don't clean the room.
Like, give yourself. Yes. The full day to be like, I'm luxuriating.
Yeah.
Ooh, but I hear
I like that word,
luxuriating. I do appreciate what you're saying though, because like there are times when especially when I've gotten in this mindset of like, well, I'm not in control of anything, so I just stagnate and like I think that's a very deep point.
Yes. Orange was definitely a loner who was friends with everybody. Hashtag internal emo kid.
Yay.
So, but I wasn't a scene kid, but I was like, if I was to pick a group, I was probably closer to the emo crowd than anything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is why I like talking about policy and philosophy and politics, because it's like, hey, it's depressing for all of us. Yeah. Anyway.
That's very good. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Not a problem. And sorry for ruining the boner from,
Denzel's going to give us a boner in a moment.
And so are you.
No, I'm going to read about pubic hair. So I'm going to...
That can give people boners.
I'm going to take it. I'm going to make everyone think about pubic hair and gender norms.
Yes.
Drop it on us. Okay.
Ready?
Wait, let me give some context. Okay. I wrote this because I was getting a lot of comments on posts saying things like, when they saw my body hair, saying things like, this is what a real woman should look like, or like this, like, I love how natural you go.
Right, right.
And I was growing and growing and growing with frustration, not understanding, like, how do I define this frustration? So I did this writing, and it's actually been really meaningful to a lot of people. So I do want to read it.
Yay, nice.
Okay, here I go. The post is called On Pubic and Body Hair. I have hair on my pubis, my legs, and in my armpits. Some people don't like it, and others love it. When I'm complimented on my body hair, it often comes in the form of, this is what a natural pussy should look like. I love how you go natural, and or so womanly, you should grow it out. Number one, when you compliment me in comparison to other women, you put me in the position of either thanking you for your supposed compliment or ignoring you entirely. I usually choose the latter because I can't stand the you're like other women compliment. It just isn't one. I love other women. Why would I want to be so different from them? It further implies that other women are somehow doing it wrong in their effort to please you. In that vein, it caters to the idea that I exist to please men through the male gaze. If you can't compliment a femme or a woman without insulting other femme or women, you're doing it wrong. Two, natural? You mean my very intentionally waxed in the shape of an airbender arrow pussy? My waxed asshole? Or did you not want to know that I take time and money to maintain the appearance of my genitalia? Maybe you wanted to assume that my quote-unquote natural pussy arrived on your screen perfectly trimmed, outlined, and coiffed? Number three, don't tell me what to do with my body hair. It's not a compliment. We're not in a dynamic, not to mention that my sir and my daddy would never tell me what to do with my body hair because it's a hard limit for me. Telling me to keep growing it out also feeds into the whole male gaze situation because what you're saying is, do this thing because I'll like it. I'm glad that you like my hair. I love my hair. Why wouldn't I be glad that people who see my posts also like it? But here are some alternative compliments. Your pubic hair is beautiful. I love your armpit hair. The airbender arrow is so cool. What lovely fuzz you have. I wanted to express the sentiment for a while now because I get these quote-unquote compliments pretty frequently. This note isn't a personal attack on anyone. It's more of a notice that I don't like this type of comment, and I can only hope and assume that you want me to like your comment. End of post.
Insane.
Yes.
All right. I mean, I remember that post going, when was that posted? What
it year? Was 2021, August of 2021.
Okay. So it wasn't time. Well, I was going to say, cause I think there was, that is emblematic of, like you said, the male gaze and like the ownership. This is one of the reasons why I personally harbor, I specifically don't like claiming ownership of my partners, of people that I'm dating, because it's like, that's my partner, or that's my girlfriend, or that's my blah. It's like, no, I don't own them. But I think a lot of people kind of are used to that entitlement of like, hey, Mango, you're not fitting to the shape of what I think a woman should stand for. To which the retort is easy. It's like, who the fuck are you to tell me what a woman should fit in?
Yeah, I think what it is for me is the arrogance of these people when they comment saying like, this is what a woman should look like, or telling me like, keep growing your hair out. I'm like,
right.
How dare you?
It's like, I know this is your body.
Like, you think you're allowed to say that to another person?
And especially like a person on the internet who you had zero connection with, which is why we've talked about this in the past, is like the etiquette of commenting on fat, especially from cishet men. Like,
I think we're going to do an episode season two about like fat nonsense.
Yes, be on the lookout.
We're going to do fat nonsense and why men.
Why men. That was that. In case you didn't know, that was Mango's episode idea.
And as soon as Mango said, I was like, yes. Why and Denzel was like, yes.
I needed to tell the world, like, please, like, let me enjoy my pubic hair, and you can also enjoy all of my body hair. Especially, a lot of people are like, love the underarm hair, keep growing it out. I'm like, it's fully grown. Like, I don't control how it just goes forever.
More hair.
Yeah. Kylo Ren, more.
Yeah. I don't have Rapunzel armpit hair.
Like, they just want like a whole like wig of pussy just following
you. Yeah.
Wig of pussy. My Merkin. Hair, just like tucking it along.
It's like, oh, I mean, my gosh. Is your armpit hair really growing if you haven't locked it up yet?
I mean, on some Viking shit. I'm just saying, if you ever want somebody to braid
my armpit hair,
that could be a fetish.
I'm into dyeing it. If someone wants to dye my armpit hair, they're more.
What
than
color
welcome.
Would you want?
Like purple, maybe.
Purple sounds.
Ooh, I can see purple.
I can see purple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So thanks for listening to that, y'all. That's just a sort of a passion of mine is people not, and I really hate when people say to me, "You're not like other women." I'm like, I am like other women. I am so like other women.
Right,
also,
right.
Other women are amazing. Why would I want to be different from other women?
Right, right. It's like you can exist as other.
Note to self: complimenters.
Yeah. Compliment. If you can't compliment someone without insulting someone else, you're not giving a compliment.
Yeah.
Fair. Fair.
Just say someone like, "Fuck, you look so fucking hot like that."
So a way to kind of look at that is like, just think of it this way: if somebody says, or if you go to Mango and you say, "Mango, I like the way that your ass looks versus blah."
Right.
Think of it this way: if this is mostly targeted at cishet males, what you're saying, operative statement, if we take it about dicks and saying, if Mango said, "I like the way your dick looks versus blah," assume that you're just versus blah. So what Mango's saying is your dick is better than Orange's dick. And it's like, is that like, how do I feel
just insulting
framing it that way?
Yeah. And then you're like, damn, you can't even look at my dick without thinking about another person's dick. Right. It's like, I just want you to look at my dick.
Right. So it's like, what about my dick?
Don't bring other dicks into this unless we said bring other dicks into this.
Right. Unless you agreed and consented. But the idea is like, you know, like Mango said, try to give the compliment about the person for the person without
and just
comparing.
Exactly.
And just let it be.
Be intentional.
And just let it be.
Yeah. Don't insert yourself in the compliment either.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with saying your ass looks great. You don't have to say your ass looks great versus Angelina Jolie. It's like, why? Why did you bring her? Who bought her into it? Why am I in this?
Sorry. Okay. That was fun, but I am very desperate to hear the erotica from Denzel over here.
Okay.
All right.
I'm debating between two segments.
Two segments?
I happen to know that there's some poetry I like of yours, but I'm not trying to sway you.
Poetry? Do you want to hear poetry or like a segment from a story?
A segment.
Well, no, I'll promise erotica. Whichever one counts.
Do the segment.
I'll do the segment. Okay. Yeah. The question is, do y'all want to hear the segment? I'm going to give you the two titles and I'm going to pick from it based on it. I know which segment I want to read.
Mm-hmm.
We can either go with Toil and Trouble, or we can go with the Muses series.
Toil and Trouble.
Okay, give me 1 second.
I'm a Halloween gay.
Oh yeah, this is the most embellished story I've written. Right.
You picked the embellishment. Yes.
Yeah, because similar to you, maybe like I write based on like if I have a personal experience, I will take that as the mold of my erotic piece, but then I will add all these different things. And I'm an imaginative.
It's so fun to embellish.
Oh yeah, wait till you hear this.
Okay, give me the segment. Give me the segment.
Okay, let's see. Let me find it right here. And I think we were okay. so context.
Okay.
Is
wait no we don't oh yeah, yeah I guess you have
for this one yeah story. I'll have to give you all a little
because
bit of context.
We're skipping in.
Let's see.
So yes, you must apply lube before you go in. So please give us lube.
Oral lube, not oral.
blah blah blah.
Olfactory lube.
The good spit, as they call it.
Oh my god.
Okay. So
I did not try to focus for that.
Okay, give us the context.
Okay, so this scene is basically what's happened prior to this is I've been fucking a witch, right?
Mm. Oh, nice.
And the witch and I have been experimenting with different potions. So the first time she gave me like an amazing stamina potion that let me like stay rock hard while she like sucked me off. So that's the first part.
Oh my God.
Second part was we did a body transfer with some bracers. Ooh. So we both wore like matching bracers and she commandeered my body while I commandeered her body.
Man,
and then we did a bit of self-pleasure.
Right.
And then we
jaw dropped right now.
And then
we
fucked each other in each other's bodies.
My God, that's so cool.
The third part, which we've reached here at the end, because you know, it's a three act structure. Mm. And the third part
three act structure
is she creates a doppelganger version of me.
So, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it for us now. Don't spoil it.
So
I guess we need to know that.
She creates a doppelganger version of me named Lezend, which is literally just Denzel backwards.
Oh, damn, it is. Lezend.
So yeah, it's me, the witch, and Lezend. And
oh my
that's
gosh.
Where we're at right now.
Wait. Assuming that you two did sex things, that means you're fucking Lezend.
Yeah. I was going to make that joke, but then I was like,
Denzel's a fucking lesson.
It's a fucking lesson.
So that's where we're at right now. Oh, yeah. Since we were doppelgangers, we could feel what each other was feeling.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like double the pleasure for me. So perhaps it was the potions, or she was so turned on by the fact that she was fucking two of me that the restraints containing her lust released. She grasped us both and eyes gleamed as if still activated by the spell. Lesund was the first to receive her mouth, and he responded by fondling her breast. Her hands kept me occupied. True to her word, I felt every suck and swallow that Lesund experienced, and that enchanted the stroking I was currently receiving. I reached farther across the bed to finger her. She was wet as a summer monsoon again. Winoa propped her ass up in the air and asked me to use something other than my fingers. Sliding into her felt like diving into an Olympic pool from 10 feet, graceful without any resistance. It took upon myself to establish proper rhythm for the spit roasting session. It'd be no fun if I simply pounded Winona from behind and forced her to stop sucking on Lesund. Remember, we're bound together. I kept the tempo in my head as I stroked, and my doppelganger thrusted himself far enough into the witch's throat to feel her last meal. Seeing how turned on my doppelganger was becoming, I wrapped my hand around Winona's neck and pushed her down. Again, the muscles of her pussy contracted, and she moaned like a deep sea whale. Winona licked her fingers and rubbed the rim of her asshole while we fucked. Then she guided my thumb into her butt while Lesund slapped her smoky cheeks with the erect dick. Her gasp for breath intensified as my thumb prepped her anal cavity. Finally, she smacked Lesund on the thigh and instructed him to join me in the rear. I laid myself on the bed, legs hanging over the edge. Winona straddled me, enveloping my dick with her wet cavern. Then the shadow of Lesund crawled over both of our bodies and he took a stance behind her ass. Although I couldn't see what was happening, I could feel it all, and so could Winona based on the lustful faces. When Lesund finally worked his way inside her perked asshole, she slobbered over my lips. In between kissing me, she made distinct sounds that echoed through the bedroom like yelps from a black cat. Lesund and I, being of one essence, reestablished a rhythm from the spit roasting and began alternating our pumps for the double penetration. At this moment, we ceased to be three individuals, but rather one entity. A paramount being that conventional laws of nature couldn't bind. Something eldritch and cosmic, yet altogether primal and proto-human. I don't know how long we existed like this, but enough for Winona to come. Maybe twice. It was difficult to tell which squeals equated coming. She switched positions halfway through the session, allowing me to provide her with a bit of anal action while Lesund cleaned up and re-entered her pussy, the double sensation I had been subject to since the summoning of Lesund had finally reached a peak. Realizing this, both Lesund and I asked our supernatural host where she wanted us to finish. I've always been a fan of designer jewelry. Fashion me a pearl necklace. Do you want me to stop there or read through the cum shot?
I think you can stop there, but that was incredible. Okay. So Our listeners are going to kill me for stopping it.
Pearl necklace.
Like, all I'm saying is we have time.
Let's chat for a little bit and then start wrapping things up. But I want to comment on that. First of all, banning myself. You shouldn't have turned down my sound because the entire time I was just going.
That's why, like, I kept looking over here.
Literally gasping, banning myself. Like, first of all, MMF threesomes are one of my just fucking favorite things. Second of all, the idea that you could feel what other you was feeling. Third of all, and this is such a weird thing to love, but I love that you noted that he cleaned himself up before going in her pussy from her asshole, because you can't go from asshole to pussy without cleaning up first. And I'm like, that is sexual safety.
See?
And sexual safety is sexy. Even in erotica, you should still include some sexual safety. And I love to hear it. I'd love to hear it so much, Denzel. Oh my God. Sorry. I'm going to need to read that whole thing.
Toil and trouble.
We're going to need to stop. That's why we're stopping the episode, really.
No.
I'm like, you guys got to go. I got to go into my room for no reason.
I got to return some videotapes.
I just have to say, like, what a brain you have. What a mind to create that scenario. Because I was so fully immersed in the scene. I could even see the room, even though you didn't describe it. Fully see what was happening. Fully see her, fully see the both of you.
And then you get to feel it too.
The immersion. It's like, it's the immersion for me.
So, but I have a very important question.
It's going to be a joke question.
What which parts of that were real and not?
Well, you know what? Valid.
I mean, you don't have to disclose your secrets, but I'm just saying, because you said this, you took
sometimes
the mold.
It might be like fucking multiple of me. I'm just saying. what's true though is I more than likely have fucked a witch.
I love that.
I feel like I am a witch magnet. Like, witches and therapists are usually
I'm gonna be
because you have a nose ring and you're wearing a turtleneck.
I'm gonna be real serious with you. Like for real. Like, all I'm saying is black goth women. No, this is me making an assumption, but I'm just saying this statement for myself. Speaking for myself only. Black goth woman, I love you. Thank you. I everything about you. Black witchy woman, yes. Please black continue to be you and all other women too. Yes, but also specifically black goth saying, and black witchy women. Yes, please.
If y'all never tried sex magic, I'm just saying, find you somebody who might want to dabble into it with you. You might experience something you ain't never found before.
Was an amazing writing.
I hope all you listeners want to go finish this and like finish yourself off if you need.
Here's what I'm saying is like Denzel is an artist and he's made that clear to us, but I think. You know, like, you have to go and read his stuff.
Yeah. Well. Mango, I agree. We need to go read Denzel's stuff. But all I'm saying is that there were some literary techniques that were utilized in there that you can tell Denzel's experience at this. Because, like, the part where things were ramping up, like, there was a speed, there was a pace change.
Yeah, I was literally going to say, you switched into, like, slam poetry.
Yeah. I heard it. I was like, yes, give me
because
we're
giving more reading. Emphasis was really
so all I'm saying is if you are in the Triangle area, I might have a reading this year.
Oh,
so
that's amazing.
We might, if y'all want to hear it in person.
We'll announce it on the Instagram.
Yes, we will. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a whole thing. But that's enough of my erotica so I can go back into my shell and be like a little.
Oh my God, Hermit, don't listen to me. Do listen to him, people. Do listen to him. So I guess we're wrapping up the season.
Baker's Dozen.
We've got a Baker's Dozen of episodes. We've got a lot of episodes planned for season two. We just talked about it. We're going to tackle some controversial stuff, both local and general.
I'm not looking forward to one of those topics.
But they're necessary.
We'll get through it.
Yeah.
And we'll take some cleansing breaths together.
Mm-hmm.
To my co-hosts, this has been one of the funnest, coolest experiences. Thank you both so much. I can't wait to keep doing this with both of you. This fucking rocks.
Yes. Say less.
I agree.
Say less. Yeah. Again, to reiterate, like, it's been a real pleasure, like I mentioned in the beginning, to have listener support, but also to be able to come in here and share, because I've learned so much about myself, about y'all, and about kink. And I think that this podcast has allowed that self-reflection and also exploration in my own journey by reflecting and comparing and contrasting and listening to y'all. So I've been extremely thankful. And next season, we're going to make it extra slutty for y'all. So,
stay tuned.
We'll get there.
We mean philosophically slutty.
Yeah, I might even like ground a whole episode.
And actual slutty? Oh, okay.
All right. We'll do some actual slutty stuff.
Okay. Wait, are we doing more erotic readings?
We can. I think Denzel and I were talking about doing an episode just called We Love Sex and talking about
conception. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
and
yes.
We can just moan. Like 30 minutes of just pure moaning.
30 minutes of wallet name.
Moaning. that's what Denzel sounds like, y'all. He wasn't kidding when he said deep sea whale.
Denzel being the best dork.
Completely ruined any facade of his attractiveness.
See,
right there.
This is why I tell people don't take me too serious.
I love it.
Well, I feel like that's the charm.
Yeah, though. If you like gremlins who look hot, I'm definitely the person for you.
Lies, y'all. I mean, if you haven't seen what Denzel looks like, Denzel is fine.
I'm not saying I
gremlin
look like
my
a gremlin.
Ass.
I act like a gremlin. I
was
going to
say, you don't act like a gremlin because you can get wet.
Hey,
but,
because gremlins, they can't get wet.
Nah, that's right. Well, they can. They just turn into the other things.
Oh, they turn into monsters.
Yeah.
Wait.
So when I get wet,
you turn into a monster.
I turn into this.
Oh,
okay.
Before that.
Orange, any final thoughts before we conclude?
What was your favorite moment on the podcast, Orange?
Oh, no. Don't get him started.
Pain. No.
Well, any final thoughts?
So my final, well, pain is my final thoughts because well, the reason I say pain is because like it's been a lot of things to work through and things to grow through. And I'm happy and very much to my own self-doubt. I'm very glad and happy and enamored by the fact that we made it through because Orange does not show up on time to anything.
It's and
Mango
true.
Is like, we need to be on time. And Denzel's like, we need to be on time. And it's always everybody waiting for Orange. And I'm like, they're going to murder me. They're going to kill me.
Well, we made it through. It's been pretty good at being
13, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also like, I say pain. I do say that jokingly, but I do mean like, there's a lot of conversations that we've had that have been, they've been above board. And we've talked outside of some podcasts. And it's a growing experience for everybody. And I hope the community is able to benefit from the conversations. I hope the community is encouraged to have conversations because yes. There's a lot of things that I really want to talk about. And there's a few things that Manga really want to talk about and Danzel really want to talk about. And we're like, you know what? Season two.
Yes. We got to put a lot.
Yeah, we just want you to come back. Mm-hmm. On that note, yes. You can find us on Instagram at Taking in the Scene Podcast, on FET at Taking in the Scene, on Gmail at takinginthescenepodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening. Denzel, what's your final takeout word?
Ooh, my final takeout phrase. Let me see. I'm going to just do something real quick and say, remember that the journey through kinkhood is yours to take, and whatever direction you want to go, you go that direction. Just remember to let go of the control and live in the flow, because that's what love is. And catch a nut every now and then too.